Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church. To all here in person, all who are watching online via our streaming service, especially our friends at Littlewood Court, and to all who are watching on our catch-up service during the week, we're glad to have all of you join us for worship today. This one major intimation to share at the start of our time, a reminder to all elders that the next meeting of our Kirk session will be held on this coming week on the 7th of July at 7 p.m. I know we're used to everything starting at 7:30 with evening meetings in Kemeny, but it's 7 p.m. So if you show up at 7:30, you'll miss a fair chunk of deliberations and business. So it's 7 p.m. and it's going to be here in the Kirk. It's going to be here in the church. 7 p.m. Kirk sessions. What time is Kirk session?
7.
Okay, good. That's me with that responsibility done. So look forward to seeing all available elders for that meeting of our Kirk session here in the church. Let's take just a moment of silence to prepare our minds and our hearts for worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let us worship God through the gift of music by singing our first hymn together, "The God of Abraham Praise."
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. We give thanks for the pleasure of gathering together here today. As we study your holy word, may it be a lantern to our feet, a light upon our path, and the strength in our lives. This week has been a week of contrasts. Some beautiful sunny afternoons and evenings, but also lots of blowing in the wind episodes. We are very aware of these changes. Guide us all to take time to look around us so that we can appreciate the glorious colours of the flowers in our gardens, the rippling waves of the burgeoning crops in the fields, the globules of raindrops gathering on the leaves, then plopping off onto the ground below. We are so fortunate to live in a land of peace and freedom. May we take time from our busy lives to stop, look, listen, and savour these wonderful gifts you have given us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you too, Lord, for our friendships and family. Help us to appreciate these friendships, to listen and look after one another, to be less immersed in ourselves. We remember the unselfishness of Dame Deborah James, who, despite coming to the end of her life here on earth, reached out to people to raise awareness of the Big C in a warm and fun-filled way. But there are times, Lord, when we know we have been quick to offend and hurt others. For this, we ask your forgiveness. Help us to be more circumspect in our actions and more thoughtful and caring to everyone we meet. May we look to your Son, Jesus, as an example of how we should treat others and live our lives the way you would us do. Guide us to use our talents, however small we think they are, to benefit others in our Kirk family and our parish community. May we continue to walk with you, Lord, throughout our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. We continue to worship God together through music with singing our next hymn of praise, Before the Throne of God Above.
Thank you. The reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and then 27 to 31. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your coat." So Moses put his hand inside his coat, and he took it out, and it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it onto the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave this man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it." The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the desert to meet Moses." So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Ishbel. We continue in worship with singing, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
Oh,
Let us pray. Living God, you are the God of wind and flame. You are the God who knows our entire beings, who knows the number of hairs upon our head, who knows the number of each of our days here on earth. We praise you and we love you for your constant presence with us in every part of life. We thank you for the gift of Scripture, which points us again and again to your great love, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as we pause now to reflect upon your written word together, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the true strength and the redemption and the hope of all who place trust in you. Amen. So, of course, we're continuing this week with our summer series on the book of Exodus. As we've heard throughout the weeks so far, as we've delved into this book together, Exodus is the Bible's fundamental story of deliverance and salvation. These are two themes, deliverance and salvation, that run throughout the entire thread of Scripture. And Exodus is the real substantive start of this pattern. We know that this book is largely the story of the people of Israel journeying from Egypt to the promised land, the land filled with milk and with honey. And what a journey it was. Throughout this book of Exodus and the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses are sometimes called the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, another trivia word for you, Pentateuch. This book is full of wanderings, backtracks, detours, disobedience, waiting, confusion. But even more importantly, through all these things, through all of the challenges and setbacks, many self-inflicted, that the Hebrew people encountered, God was with his people at work in their lives, using the experience of the journey to form them into his people, into people of covenant relationship with God. And we've said before, and it bears repeating, that this book of Exodus has a lot to say to the church today. It has a lot to say through each generation of believers, a lot to teach us about our own Christian journeys. For this book, I think, is a story, a reminder of the importance of following God even when we do not know the way forward. It's a story of trusting God even when we cannot see the full plan. This was true for Moses, it was true for the Israelites, and it's true for us. In our lives, in our walk of faith, none of us ever see the full picture. And so, to some extent, we're always living and walking by faith. And so this week, we're looking at the immediate aftermath of Moses' dramatic encounter with God in the burning bush. Moses has just seen this miraculous sight. He's just received a stupendous, life-changing commission from God to go back to Egypt, to be God's emissary to Pharaoh, and to tell him, "Let my people go." It's quite a commission, isn't it? And so Moses, hearing this, without questioning, he went right back to Egypt, didn't he? No, he did not. After seeing this miraculous theophany, this revealing of God in the burning bush, after having his life turned upside down, Moses decided to be a typical human being and look for reasons why all of this wasn't a very good idea. Has anyone ever had this kind of experience before? You're asked to do something well outside your comfort zone, and you start to say, "But here's why it won't work out. Please save me from this." Moses answered God, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice," he said, "for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you." And in response to this concern, perhaps because he knew the hard-heartedness of his own people, in an act of great patience, the Lord gave Moses three signs, dramatic signs, powerful signs. A staff that turned into a snake, a hand that became afflicted with leprosy when he put it inside of his cloak and then healed when he took it back out again, the ability to turn some water into blood when poured on the dry ground. It's as if God knew the Israelites would not believe mere words. And after so many hundreds of years of slavery, multiple generations enslaved in Egypt, perhaps they needed more substantive proof that their deliverance was at hand. And I don't know about you, but if somebody came to me with a staff that turned into a snake, a hand that went back and forth between leprosy and clean and pouring water into blood on the ground, I'd give them a fair hearing. But even after all these signs, Moses wasn't through looking for reasons why, for him, God's plan was still a very bad idea. Verses 10 through 13 that Ishmael just read for us, Moses, after seeing these tremendous signs, feeling himself perhaps backed into a corner, he said, "Oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." That's quite eloquent right there, I suppose, but never mind that. But the Lord said to Moses, "Who made your mouth? Who makes somebody mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to speak. I have your back, Moses, in every way," the Lord says. But even after all of these things, after seeing the burning bush, after getting these powerful signs, after being given this assurance that I am going to be with you in every way, did Moses say, "Okay, oh Lord, please send somebody else"? Now, one level, his hesitancy and his resistance is very understandable. He was given the very daunting task of confronting those who held direct power over the well-being of his people. It's not an overstatement to say that if Moses failed, his people would be the ones to pay the price. There are not many people who would willfully and gladly put themselves into such a high-pressure position. This is why I always worry about people who willingly put themselves forward for positions like Prime Minister or President of the United States. I mean, come on. That's you have to be a certain mentality type to look for that kind of job. We have to face these impossible decisions day in and day out, and not many people are built for it. So, as we said, Moses probably felt like if he messed this up, his people would be the ones to pay the price. But along with concern for his people, there's also the fact that Moses simply didn't want to obey. He did not want to make a leap of faith and trust in God's promises. Maybe after all those years in exile, in the wilderness, with a wife and children, perhaps Moses was settled down. Perhaps he didn't want a life change at that point. Perhaps he genuinely felt that someone else, anyone else, would be better suited to this task. And in a roundabout way, personally, I find this part of the passage comforting. It reminds us that Moses was not a superhuman with a superabundance of faith. Instead, guess what? Moses was just like us, flesh and blood full of doubts and fear and excuses. Even after experiencing so many signs of God's faithfulness, Moses still wavered. When in fact, up to this point, his whole life, whether he admitted it or not, whether he saw it or not, his whole life was one long testimony to God's faithfulness. As a baby, when he was utterly helpless, he was spared from Pharaoh's cruel edict that all male Hebrew children should be killed. He was rescued from the water in that basket by a member of Pharaoh's own family and raised in great comfort and safety. When he was found out for killing the Egyptian taskmaster, God saved his life by enabling him to flee into the wilderness. And in that state of wilderness, God still provided Moses with a spouse, with children, and a new identity, a new purpose. So I'm trying to say in all this that the entire trajectory of Moses' life, the ups and the downs, they were all a profound testimony to the faithfulness of God. Over and over again, God had given Moses every reason to trust him. God was with him in the highs, in the lows, in every part in between. The same is true for each of our lives as well. Friends, God has given us every reason to trust him. Like Moses, each of our lives is also a living testament to the faithfulness and love of God. Now, let me be clear. In saying that God has given us every reason to trust him, I am not trying to deny or dismiss the hardship and sufferings we have experienced in our lives. I'm not trying to dismiss them. I look around at the people here today, at the faces, the well-kent faces. And in my time in Kemne, I've had the great privilege of learning so many parts of your stories. I know many of the scars that you bear, and you know many of mine, because a pastoral relationship is always a two-way street. In one form or another, every single one of us has been through the crucible of suffering. In one form or another, we have all had or are having our faith tested. In one form or another, we've all had to find our way through darkness and difficulty, believing and trusting that God is with us and is actively helping us through every season of our lives. As was the case with Moses' life, I think that each of us, if we really take time to pray and reflect on it, we can point to many times, perhaps, when we have had a real experience of God's faithfulness in our lives. If we really stop to think about it. And on a fundamental level, everybody take a deep breath. Oh, there's a sign of God's faithfulness right there. Another breath, another moment, another day, a chance to be together. For me, my entire experience in Kemne has been one long experience of the Lord's faithfulness. Before we came here, Heather and I really had no idea what this would be like. In so many ways, think back to the decision to come here, we had to take a real leap of faith in coming to Scotland. And I have to admit, it wasn't a decision that we made serenely with complete peace and tranquility. It was a real struggle to discern the Lord's will. Are we really sure this is what we were supposed to be doing? We all have challenges and doubts and some struggles in the life of faith. We're only human as well. But even more than this, since coming here, Heather and I have had a real experience of God's faithfulness, of the Lord's sustaining presence in our lives. And this place, our church family, has played no small part in reminding us of God's faithfulness. And each of us, if we were to come forward to the lectern, don't worry, we're not going to do it. Each of us, I think, if we took time to pray and think about it, could relay similar experiences of how God has been faithful to us in good times and in hard times as well. Back to our text. After going back and forth with God, running out of reasons not to obey, and after the Lord offered to have his brother Aaron help him in his mission to Pharaoh, we read the following, that Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see if they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who are seeking your life are dead." So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. Now I have to admit to you, when I was reading this text for the sermon earlier in the week, I noticed something new in the text, something my eyes had always glossed over. We talked before about the importance of reading scripture slowly, and there's always, for all of us, new things to learn. And what jumped out at me this time was a part of the text that said, "So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt." He took his wife and his sons on a donkey back to Egypt. So when he finally decided to obey God's command to confront Pharaoh, to demand the liberation of his people, Moses didn't take day-long or week-long trips to Egypt. He didn't commute back and forth to the land of Midian and Egypt. Instead, Moses took a great leap of faith, and he went all in. In this decision to obey, Moses decided to trust God with his entire life, with the life of his wife, with the lives of his children. In other words, do we think Moses put everything on the line in obeying? Yes or no? He did. Friends, like Moses, God is calling each of us to also make a leap of faith. We could say that all of human life is one big leap of faith, or maybe lots of smaller leaps if that feels a little less overwhelming. The truth of the matter is that if we live a life of faith, we are not always going to be comfortable. We cannot have full security as defined by the world and also make a leap of faith. In the New Testament, the word we translate as faith has the more concrete meaning of trust. Who here has ever taken a trust walk before? Anybody? These are all the rage sometimes in America. Or has anyone ever done a trust fall where you're sitting around people and you close your eyes and you fall back and you trust they're going to catch you? I hope we've all been caught. But is it always a little scary to trust someone or something else on some level? Because trusting someone or something else means letting go of control to some extent. So if God calls us to make a leap of faith, it means surrendering control. It means echoing those great words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done." So apart from a leap or leaps of faith, we cannot and we will not become the people God wants us to be. In one form or another, in ways dramatic, in ways small, each of us has faced or is facing or will face times when we are forced to ask, "Do I really trust God? Am I willing to make a leap of faith and follow where he's calling?" And Scripture tells us that God is faithful. God deserves our trust. As we know, Kemnay Kirk is leaning into a new season of shared ministry, deeper partnership with our neighboring sister churches of Cluny, Money Musk, Blairdaff Chapel of Geary, Ectum Ed Mar, and Kintore. And I think it's fair to say this whole endeavor, this whole initiative of working as a true team for every church involved, for every person involved, this whole effort is very much a leap of faith. All of these churches are trying something new, something bold, so we can better share the good news of Jesus with our communities. But as a team, as a united community of churches, we are saying that we cannot achieve our goals on our own, that we need each other. We need God's help. We need God's guidance. We need to be willing to make that leap of faith to go and to do where and what the Lord is calling us to go and to do. The same is true for our individual lives. We cannot claim a life of faith and then also refuse to go and do what the Lord is calling us. There are times in each of our lives when a leap of faith is an essential aspect of our Christian lives. And eventually, Moses could see, I imagine he did, he could see God's faithfulness in his own life. And we are told eventually he did choose to trust God by obeying, by taking his family back to Egypt, by making this leap of faith to do what the Lord is calling him to do. So as we go into another week, may the Lord help us to see and remember his faithfulness in our lives, so that like Moses and like so many other women and men of faith throughout the generations, we too, in our own lives, in our own spheres of influence, will be willing to make a leap of faith, to take a chance, to follow where God is calling, so that we will become living witnesses to the joyous redemption that God has won for us in Jesus Christ. That is what life is really all about. So let's make a leap of faith in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are called to make leaps of faith. But as the case was with Moses, God promised to be with him in his leap of faith. God promises to guide us as we follow him in faith as well. So in that spirit, we now sing our next hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Friends, brothers, and sisters, all are welcome to take part in the Lord's Supper today. There is room at this table for all who desire to love
and follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Here in Kemnay Church, we take communion together by first passing out the bread. We hold it, and as a sign of our unity, we take it together. We then pass out the cup. As a sign of our togetherness in Jesus, we hold it and we take it together. The bread and the cup are tangible signs for us of God's continued faithfulness through the ups and the downs of life. We gather at this table to remember Jesus Christ, to give thanks for his saving death and resurrection. The life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the greatest reminder we have of God's unfailing faithfulness to us and to all who believe and trust in his name. And as we gather around this table, we pray for a renewed sense of unity with God, with each other, and with believers throughout the world. May partaking of this sacrament inspire us anew to live out our faith amidst a broken and hurting world, so that others will come to know and trust the goodness and love of God in their lives. And as most of the praise band is away on break right now, when we distribute the elements today, we will distribute them in silence and reflect together on the meaning of this bread and this cup for us. So come to this table, not because we must, but because we may. Not because we are strong, but because we are weak. Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right, but because we need mercy and help. Come because we love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loves us and gave himself for us. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Loving God, we thank you for gathering us as brothers and sisters in Christ around this table. We thank you for these gifts of bread and for the cup, these tangible reminders of your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we confess the many times that we are less than faithful to you and to each other. And we praise you for your great and unending mercy, that even when we are faithless, you are faithful, for you cannot and you will not deny who you are. And we thank you for your steadfast mercy, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, in his life, in his teachings, in his death, and in his resurrection. And we pray that as the grapes are crushed and mixed together to form the cup, as the grain of wheat is crushed and mixed together to form the bread, that you would form us into one body of faith here in Kemnay Church. Make us one with your saints throughout the ages as we pray together the words of the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by Paul the Apostle, who said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And in response to Christ's saving actions for us, we do declare together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. Friends, this is the body of Christ, broken for us. Take and eat in remembrance of Jesus. Friends, this cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it. And may the true and surpassing peace of Jesus Christ be with us all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace. Let us now turn our hearts and minds to our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Loving God, as ever, as we take time in this place of worship, we bring our cares and concerns with us to this holy place. We find ourselves saturated with the needs and concerns of this world. Here at home in the UK, we have seen and read about great tension around the continued rail strikes. As people react to this situation, and with potential for other pay disputes, Lord, we pray for calm, and we pray for fair negotiations. We pray for those who mediate disputes and look to resolve them. May they listen carefully and speak with caution and with wisdom. And we pray that patience, consideration, and kindness would be in all of the talks. And we ask, Lord, that you would help all parties find a resolution that works and is equitable. Relatedly, we also pray, Lord, for those who are anxious about the cost of living. We pray, Lord, that you will provide real signs of provision, comfort, and assurance for all those who are struggling and who are genuinely worried about what the future holds. Loving God, may your peace rule the day. May you bring your lasting and transforming calm in times of upset. Hear our prayer. Loving God, we live in a world with far too many people who are displaced, many of whom experience what it is like to be unwelcome. We hear about places like Syria
and Yemen, where there are so many refugees, so many displaced people. Lord, we know that you see everyone who has been forced to leave a home, everyone who has had to flee in terror, and those whose future feels so very uncertain. Remind us to keep praying and supporting those people who are in need, even when they no longer occupy the headlines. We thank you for those people who have committed their lives to working diligently with and for refugees, for those who advocate for others and speak for those who have no voice. Loving God, this day we pray that those who have left or lost their homes would find new welcome and new security in the time to come. Hear our prayer. Loving God, as we move through our week, as we carry out our lives and responsibilities in our own community, help us to notice signs of your coming kingdom. Help us to always pray for your kingdom to come here on earth, for your will to be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. We pray for your will to be done in places that are suffering real unrest. We continue to pray for Ukraine. We pray for minors in the Central African Republic under attack by mercenaries. We pray for those in India who are dealing with flooding after monsoons. We pray for Afghanistan, now dealing with the after effects of a massive earthquake. We pray as well for people close to us who are finding life hard at the moment. Loving God, bring your kingdom closer. Speed the day when your will shall be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Hear our prayer. Loving God, there's so much competition these days for our time and for our attention. We live in an age of constant distraction, of social media, streaming platforms, the 24-hour news cycle that is ripping us apart as a society. Help us in the tumult, in the noise and the nonsense, to hear you speaking clearly and peacefully to our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Even in the constant chaos of the world, Lord, help us to prioritize our relationship with you and to make time to learn more about you, to grow in prayer with you. Help us here in Kemne to be your church. Help us to live as your disciples, to care for those who are hurting, to draw others into a life of faith and following you. Loving Father, be with us this week as we try to follow and trust you, as we make leaps of faith. Hear our prayer. Amen. We now sing our closing hymn of praise, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
I think that hymn hits the nail on the head, doesn't it? God's faithfulness is so great to each of us, and every day we have a choice to trust in God's faithfulness, to make a leap of faith, to grow in our faith and following him. So go forth from this place. Make leaps of faith great and small, and in so doing, bear true witness to the love, grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. And all of God's children said together, Amen. Friends, go in peace.